Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, starting in chapter 7 at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. That is the word of God.
People of God, let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts. Teach us again your word. Remind us again what we already know, and refresh and renew and revive in us the faith that you have given. Amen. In this time of Epiphany, which is a season, by the way, that technically starts tomorrow and runs all the way through the beginning of Lent, we are going to walk our way through the book of James. The book of James is an open letter. It's not addressed to a set of churches or to a particular church, but it was written to the churches scattered throughout the Roman Empire, specifically in Asia, which think Greece and East. And it is particularly concerned with living out our faith. Martin Luther actually criticized the book of James. He wasn't sure it should continue to be included in our Bibles because he was afraid that it was a little too focused on good works and not quite focused enough on faith. Luther wanted us to remember and to make sure we understood that we are not saved because of the good things that we do, that we cannot earn our way into heaven by doing more and more good stuff, but that grace and forgiveness are a gift given to us. We also, in the Presbyterian Church, just like our Lutheran brothers and sisters, agree with Luther. We understand that our faith is what saves us. It's not about earning our way in, but to say that James is focused on good works only as a way of getting into heaven is to miss the point. James, as a book, is particularly concerned with the so what question. Our faith is a gift. Our salvation is assured, so what? What difference does that make in our lives? Are we different because of what God has done for us? How do we respond to the good things that we have been given by God? The book of James is a wealth of practical applications and a way of thinking about and understanding how it is that we are to live, knowing that we are God's children. And so together, in adult Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, and during Rev, we are going to walk our way through the book of James for about 9 weeks. And so we're going to begin with chapter 1, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the heat. Its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. It is the same. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desires, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, beloved. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are God's children. And yet, doubt and temptation are a part of our daily reality. Even if we cannot quite admit it to someone else, we have all had moments of temptation, and moments that our faith is tested, moments that we do doubt. James is really clear that this is simply a part of the human condition. But God gives us tools to walk through what is our human condition. That means that God is well aware of any doubts that we experience. God is well aware of the temptations that we see and experience daily, and longs to walk with us through all of these things. Admitting that we suffer from doubt or temptation then is not a mark of shame upon us. It is simply an acknowledgement that we are human and desperately in need of a Savior. It is a way of placing us all together on one side, not those who have it together and those who don't, but all of us on one side, God's people in need of a Savior, because we have the same needs. Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. If you search, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. And often this passage has been interpreted as to tell us that if we need something or want something and we don't get it, then we just haven't prayed hard enough, that we haven't believed enough. But there are lots of people that I know who have poured out their heart and soul for something that they do not receive. They have asked, but it hasn't happened. We prayed desperately for a cure to my mother's cancer, and the cure was her death. It is often because of these unanswered prayers, then, that people begin to doubt. How many people do you know who have said, well, I asked God to heal so-and-so, and God didn't, therefore, why should I trust God? How many people do we know who have begged and prayed for something and have not received it, and so they are angry? This is where doubt begins to creep in, because we wonder if maybe God doesn't listen to us. Or we wonder if we're not important enough. Maybe God is too busy. Or I am too insignificant. Or we tell ourselves the story that we are not trusting enough, we're not trying hard enough. God doesn't really know that we are strong enough in our faith, and so we don't get what we receive. Because if I just ask hard enough, it will happen. And that leads us to a crisis of faith. Because either, when we put it in these terms, either God isn't big enough to do what we ask, or God doesn't love us enough to do what we ask. And when we place it in those terms, our faith begins to be rattled, and we do begin to doubt, because we say that God can do all things. And we say that God is perfect and that God is good. And so why don't we get what we ask for when we ask for it with all our hearts? Why don't we always find what we're seeking the way we think we should find it? Why don't we get what we want when we ask God really, really hard for it? Well, I think we have to start with the reality that God is not our fairy godmother. God doesn't produce the way a genie with a lamp and three wishes produces. God is creator of the universe. God sees the whole picture, and we only see a little tiny part. Jesus didn't tell us to ask and to seek and to knock in order to test our faith, but to remind us that we are being called as God's people to do what is impossible for us to do alone. We can only do these things with God's help. Just before Jesus said, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open, Jesus says, don't worry about anything. Trust in God for everything. We can't do that without seeking and knocking and believing in God. Jesus also says that we should not judge, just before he tells us to ask and we'll receive. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not capable of trusting God completely and not judging anybody ever for anything without God's help. Because by my nature, I tend to do those two things. I worry, and every once in a while, I look at somebody with a little bit of disdain, and I'm not proud of it. Because we all do it. Jesus said that without the help of our God, we're not capable of doing these things. Jesus said that we are to do to others the way that we would have them do to us. Can any of you manage that without God's help? Can any of you manage to live a life where you treat everyone the way that you want to be treated without God's help? Endurance, James says, brings our faith to completeness. It isn't that we can never, ever doubt. It's not that we can never ever wonder about something or have our faith rattled a little bit, but that in the midst of our doubt, we are to rely upon our God. The promise of God is that if in the midst of the doubt, we will continue to pray and ask and to seek, then we will find. Our faith will become mature and complete and lacking nothing. What this tells me is that on my worst days, even on the days when I feel like my faith and my hope are clinging by my fingernails to a window ledge, God is with me. We cannot endure without the help of our God. It is only by consistently asking and seeking and knocking at heaven's door through prayer that we find the strength to endure. Our persistence is grace and faith. Our persistence is our connection to the will of God. None of this means that doubt goes away. None of this means that we're always going to have it all together all the time, but rather that God will endure and be with us in all things, even in moments of fear or uncertainty or disbelief. God is with us. Because we are human,
We will have fears and doubts. We will wonder, we will struggle, but we are never left alone in any of that. James says that when we ask for help from God, we should do so boldly and in faith. Doubt makes us unstable and uncertain. And when we're stuck in places of doubt, we can talk ourselves out of seeing the things that God puts right in front of us because we're so focused on that wonder and that fear. This is when the Father says to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." That's what is happening in us when we doubt. Temptation, James tells us then, is another part of what it is to be human. We are tempted all the time because it's not just simply the list of things not to do, but we are often tempted to just not do the things we know we're supposed to do too. We are tempted to be disobedient. We are tempted to err and to omit the things we know that we ought to do. Being obedient to God means living into God's call in our lives and living our lives the way God calls us to live. James says, "Blessed is anyone who endures temptation." No one, when tempted, should say that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and God tempts no one. That means that we probably ought not say that God is testing us, although we often do. Because temptation is not something that comes from God to us to see if we have it together. God doesn't want to do that to us. God longs for us to be holy and whole and complete, and it is not God putting stumbling blocks in our way. And so if it is not God who puts stumbling blocks in our way, then where do they come from? If we're honest, usually within us. Usually it is within us that we find it is our own desires, our resentments, our laziness, our hurts, our fears that lead us to sin. Yes, of course we are tempted by things around us, but the true danger often, most often, comes from within our own selves because we are sinful by nature. And so it is not God who puts these stumbling blocks in our way. It is not God who sends temptation, but God can make use of that temptation. God can make use of our doubts. God can even make use of our sins because God can use our resistance to teach us obedience. God can use our sin to teach us, but it's not God who is testing us. Evil does not come from God, but God can use even evil for the purposes that God intends. Temptation does not come from our God, but good. And so God can use even our sinful nature for the kingdom of God. Temptation comes to us in so many ways, but most often from within our hearts. God can use even the places of darkness to teach us and to call us to faith. It is in seeking endurance in places of doubt. It is in seeking to endure when we are tempted that we learn to rely upon the God who created us. It's in endurance that we learn faith and can put our faith into action. We don't get it right every time, do we? And none of us is ever without doubt or temptation because none of us are perfect. But it's what God can do with us despite our shortcomings. It's what God can do with us in spite of ourselves that really matters because God uses our weaknesses. God uses us And so the question is, are we willing to stand in the face of doubt or temptation? Are we willing to acknowledge when we struggle, to tell the truth about those places of darkness, to tell the truth about the questions that we have and the wonderings that we have? Are we willing to rely upon God, who does not despair of us? Are we willing to put our trust and our hope in God? This then is faith, relying fully on God to get us through whatever it is we endure or encounter, being willing to perpetually ask and seek and knock, not because we're always going to get what we want, but because God does give us all that we need. Let us pray. Lord, you are with us in temptation. You are with us in times of doubt. You are with us in all things. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the life that you give to us all. In your name we pray. Amen.